they're going to be sharing this morning. Come on. I'm honored. If for people who don't know, come on up. For people who don't know, Bernard is our non-resident elder. He's one of our elders along with Richard and Debbie. And so it's just an honor to have them here, always to be with us. And they just really encourage us. They encourage me, and they've just been pillars for me. And it's really funny how he's my elder, and he always says, I watched you grow up. He watched me grow up, and now he's one of my elders at our church. And I just say thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done and poured into our life. So.
It's always a joy to be here and to hear the report of what has been happening in the trip that you've just taken. And I felt like the Lord laid up, just dropped a little nugget in my heart to share with you, and that is be careful not to compare. Be careful not to compare. The Lord has seasons and assignments for each of us that may not be the same as the one sitting next to you, especially if it's a different season for the one than the one sitting next to you. One of the most difficult things and most challenging things in the body of Christ even can be comparison. I remember the story of Eric Little. You might not know of him, but he was a champion runner for the country of Scotland and ended up going to the Olympics back in the 30s. And a book has been written about him and a movie made about him. But the fact of the matter is that when he was training for the Olympics, he had a lot of raw talent, and he came from a missionary's family. And his sister said to him, Eric, aren't you going to be coming to the mission field with us? And he said, you know, I feel the pleasure of God when I run. And he accepted the assignment that God gave to him, even though it didn't seem like he was doing anything spiritual. Well, one of the things that stands out to me is when he was training, he had a trainer, and this trainer was making movies of the way he would run and race one of his chief competitors, who was also on the U.S. team. And so he showed this movie to Eric, and he said, Eric, look at this movie. I want you to watch. He said, right there, and he stopped the frame, and Eric was looking over to see what that other runner was doing, and the trainer said, you just lost 3 seconds right there. Comparing yourself. And so he self-corrected. He knew he couldn't do that anymore. And how often in our own lives we get to looking, Facebook doesn't do a whole lot to help us, does it? You know, social media, looking at what, but to focus in on what God has called us to do. When I was growing up, both Sylvia and I wanted to spend our lives in a thatched hut in Africa, and how the Lord took her in a different direction and took me in a different direction. And for a while, I thought that I was really missing out because I wasn't a Sylvia Evans. Bernard said, oh, I'm glad you're not. I wouldn't have married you. But but the fact is that now we laugh about it. We joke about it because for a while, I was so bent out of shape comparing what the Lord had assigned me to do with what the Lord had assigned her to do. Now I say, Sylvia, I prophesy over that oven. When I'm making a meal, I say, in Jesus' name, be healed. You know, like, my food doesn't always turn out the best. Or I move mountains of laundry, or taking care of the one that the Lord has so laid on her heart. She's so alive with this, that you can be walking in the fulfillment of God's assignment in your life if you've got 1, 2, 3 in your assigned season. Another thing is to know the seasons of our life. I'm so taken, too, with the story of Jael. How many of you know about Jael? She was a little housewife, tent wife in the book of Judges. And she was just going about doing her business. Now, the housewives back in that day were no wimps, like they aren't now either. And in fact, she was lived a nomadic life. She had to take care of the cattle. She had to pound the stakes. She had to face dust storms that would come up without warning. She was like one weathered woman. She did not realize that the Lord was going to give her the assignment in that little tent to take out Osama bin Laden of that day. I'm telling you, the Lord takes us. If you're in a hidden situation and you're comparing yourself to other people who get to go out and do all this stuff, I'm telling you, I'm not putting down the people who go out and do this stuff. They pay a price for that, just as we pay a price for the assignments the Lord gives us. God's grace covers us in each call that we're given. But here she was. The Lord assigned her to this, and she used just the skills that she had developed in the assignment on her life, gave her an enabling to take out the ruler of that enemy that was so that army had so far outnumbered Israel, and here the honor had come to her. Deborah had been leading, and she said, "The Lord is prophetically, the Lord's going to give the honor to a woman," and God did. I don't know what you think your assignment is. I don't know if you think this it's overwhelming or whatever it is. Call on the grace of God, whatever it is. I know this. The Bible says a year, let's see, a thousand days. Wait a minute. A day can be as a thousand years. Wait a minute. No, a thousand years can be as a day to the Lord. But when you're the mother of littles, one day can be as a thousand years. And God knows that. The Lord knows that. He knows your days. He knows your moments. He knows what you've been handed to by life. He knows the broken hearts. He knows what's going on. He knows every detail, and he is for you. Hallelujah. Seasons, yes, seasons for churches, assignments for churches. Don't compare yourself to other churches, by the way. God's assignment for this church has been through the years, one that's produced strong soldiers of Christ wherever you are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Need I say any more? Well, I'm glad I married her. It's so good to be here. Good to see all of you and to know that the Lord is here among us. Amen. How many sense his presence? Amen. He is here. And when Brother Pastor Tom says that I watched him grow up, that's putting me into an ancient day somewhere. I don't remember you this small, but I remember your mother and your father. And you're trailing along. Praise God. Good to see him in the work of the Lord. Praise God. Today I want to talk from John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is not an unfamiliar portion to us. It is well known among us, but I just want to highlight some things that have come to me for us today. John chapter 15 begins with two words that are very important to us. Those two words are I am. Whenever you see in the scripture the I am, you can remember that when Moses said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" You are to say, "I am that I am." And so whenever Jesus says, "I am," he is declaring once again that there is one who is. When you say, "I am," it is saying, "I am. I am ever present. I am, I am, I am." It's hard to explain, but it is a word of comfort to us that God is a God who is before time, and he will continue after time, and Jesus is the first and the last, and he's in between. Hallelujah. And so when we worship the Lord, we are declaring afresh the power of the word, I am. I am. I am. Say it with me. I am. And he has brought us into that way of life, of being present with him as he is present with us, so that we can walk in this world with the great I am ever with us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. And how many are glad that he is here with us? Hallelujah. He said, I am with you to his disciples, and later I will be in you. And so every believer can testify to the fact that the power of God is working within you. Hallelujah. And out through you as you believe in him. And so as he says, I am the true vine. Now often we quote this, leaving out that little word true. But it's important for us to understand that when he said, I am the true vine, that he is saying something that we need to hear. Because in Psalms, Psalm 80, you can find the declaration where God brought a vine out of Egypt and subdued the enemies in another land and planted a vine. But that vine did not follow through with staying in relationship to the God who had called them. And therefore, when you hear Jesus say, I am the true vine, he is speaking to a people who had departed from the way, after he said this, would crucify him because they did not receive him. He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him, and they crucified him, and he was buried, but he rose again from the dead because he was the true vine. Hallelujah. He is the planting of the Lord so that we can be the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the caretaker or the husbandman. You know, often we overlook the fact that God is our heavenly Father. I think we sometimes pass by that privilege of declaring that he is our Father. Jesus said, my Father. We can say, our Father. He said, when you pray, say, what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Fatherhood is very important. And in our society, there are many who are fatherless. They don't know who their father is. They don't have a father. One time or another, they've heard they have a father, but they don't know their father. But when Jesus came, he came to declare the Father so that human beings can know a relationship to a Father. Hallelujah. If you are here today and you are without a Father, know that when the Father forsakes you in the earth, that the God of all will become your Father. Hallelujah. He says, when your father and mother forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that we can know a relationship with a God who is not just way out there, but He is the husbandman of the vine and of the branches? And if any of you have noticed, a vine grows with many branches on it. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, "I am the true vine," He is declaring something. "You are the branches," He says. Hallelujah. And so when you think of the picture of the vine and the branches, there is a picture of belonging to and being connected to, so that you are not out there on your own, but you are connected to the very vine that God has planted and is declared to be the vine of His choosing. So when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," He is saying to all those who were around Him, who were not receiving Him, that they thought that they were the vine, but He is declaring, "I am the true vine." And in our day, there are many who claim to be the vine of the Lord, but they are not the vine of the Lord because they have rejected His person. They have rejected His work. They have drawn away from Him. And God has said, "I have a vine that I'm sending out from Me so that He can have branches growing in the earth." And I want to talk a little bit about this picture, that the purpose of the vine was that it would be multiplying and it would be giving forth and growing things. Hallelujah. So I want you to see yourself as a disciple of the Lord, planted and attached, or shall I say, growing out of Him. He is the vine. You are growing out from Him. You are growing out from Him. Let me say it again. You are growing out from Him. He is the true vine, and we are the branches, and God the Father is watching over us, and He does things in our lives that we don't always understand, but He is always at work on the vine. Hallelujah. And on the branches. Amen? Come on. And the purpose of the vine and the branches is to produce fruit. And it's not just a little fruit, but it is to be a multiplied fruit. Fruit that is much, much fruit. It's not a little thing. So when you see yourself, and I want you to see yourself, connected to the vine, Christ Jesus, and you are growing in your relationship with Him, that out of that relationship, there is something that is being seen by others. And we call it the manifestation of the fruit. We call it the manifestation of the Spirit of God. We call it the showing forth of the kingdom of God. I am ever present, ever working, ever growing, ever producing. I am. Hallelujah. And that word, those words, "I am," grow out through the vine into the branches, so that we can say we are the body of Christ in the earth. Hallelujah. And there is life from the vine working into His church. into his people, into his branches, so that there is a reproducing of the fruit and the vine. Reproducing the fruit of the vine, reproducing and continuing and continuing and continuing and continuing, going out, growing out. Hallelujah. And the Father God is watching over it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm seeing something here that I'm not able to say it all the way I would like to say it, but I want us to understand something, that the vine has been given to us, and we have been called by him, and we are connected with him. The vine, we are an outgrowth of the vine. Can you see yourself as being like Jesus, like Christ? The Spirit of the Lord flowing out of the Lord into you so that you can produce the fruit, the fruit, the fruit, the fruit, outgrowing. Hallelujah. Amen? Oh my. Fruit has to do with increase. The increase of the life of the vine. And we'll see it later, but one of the things that he was after in his disciples was that they would understand who they were, that he had chosen them. They didn't choose themselves. He had chosen them, and he was doing something with them, and he had a purpose for them. And that was to go forth and to bear fruit in the world for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Think about the power of the life that is in the vine. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. He says something that is very important for us. In verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I am him. And right there, you see the connection of the vine and the branches. The branch doesn't have life in itself, but it draws life. In the same way that Jesus said to his disciples, you must eat of me, you must drink of me, you must partake of me, you must ingest me. How many know that when you eat, you're taking something in, right? Well, we don't want to go any further than that, right? But when you drink, you take it in. So that when you as a branch, being connected to the vine, you are drawing from that source. In the same way that Jesus said to his disciples, if you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you are in me and I am you. I'm in you, you're in me. It's a mystery. But when we come to the Lord and we ask the Lord to come into our lives, There is a moving into His life. And His life is in us. Hallelujah. I am no longer out there, I am in Him. I am no longer out by myself, but I am in Him. Come on. Come on. I am in Him and He is in me. When that branch begins to grow out of the vine, it's receiving life from the vine. Hallelujah. And it's affecting the outgrowth. It's determining something, that there's going to be fruit, and that fruit will benefit those who partake of it. And so you as a disciple of the Lord, I as a disciple of the Lord, we are connected to the vine. We are drawing life from Him in order that others will benefit from the fruit that comes from that relationship. Huh? Come on. The relationship of the branch and the vine is crucial to what is manifested to others. And He is determined to have a people who will live by the source of the Spirit that is in the vine, so that they can reproduce the Lord in the earth. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It is of the Spirit of God. He is. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am. And so we can walk in this world with the echoing of that word, I am, I am, I am, I am. And the I am produces life through the branch, so that there is a manifestation of that connection of the branch and the vine. Hallelujah. And if I want us to understand something today, and that is that when we are in the vine, there is a husbandman who is watching over us, and He is caring for us with the goal of bringing us into more. Let me say it that way. That you will not stay where you are, but that there will be an increase through you. How many want to see increase? You really want to see increase? Come on. Tell me. Do you really want to see increase? What do you want to see increase for? Because in order to have increase, there is a process. That process is described here, and that has to do with purging, cleaning, bringing us sufferings, limitations. Because what He says here, I am the vine, you and every branch in me that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring what? Forth more fruit. Now that is a powerful word. But then He goes on and He talks about how important it is for us to abide in Him. And when we are abiding in Him, we are going to experience the prunings or the purgings or the cleaning up of our lives. And how many of you are better off today than you were 10 years ago because of your relationship with the Lord? But how many will tell me that during that 10 years, there's been seasons where you have felt like you were nothing? You felt like everything was come to an end? You didn't feel like you were worth anything? Come on. How many went through that kind of thing sometime or another? So, what was happening to you? Why, were you being rejected? No. Were you being taken out of the vine? No. You were still connected with the Lord, and you were in the process of coming to a place of bearing more fruit. Huh? And that process required you to go through sufferings. How many have ever pruned a tree, how many have cut the limbs off of the? Huh? Come on, what do you do when you do that? You take something that's sharp, and what do? You cut it off, right? So when you drive through the vineyard area of the States, in a certain period of time of the year, you look at it and it looks like nothing is ever going to grow there again. Come on, right? Somebody has come along and cut it right down almost to the bottom of it. And yet there's a sign out there that says, grapes for sale. Huh? Fruit for sale. Trees being trimmed down to, you know, and all you see is the brush around. But yet the sign is still saying, this is the place where you will purchase and where you will find, where you'll get, and all of that is there. But let us remember that in the process of coming to much more fruit, there is suffering that goes on in our own mind, in our own soul, in our own life, that we cannot necessarily push away from us because it's there. But in the season that it will come to be a much fruit, there will be something that is flourishing that when you look back to the time of purging and pruning, you cannot believe that what is happening to you now. But because you chose to abide in the vine, and when it says abide, that means that you are staying with it. It may make you feel sometimes like, I want to get out of this. I want to get out of this. But because you choose to abide, and the husbandman is there to help you, huh? Stay connected. And may I say this to the church as a whole? There are seasons in churches. There are seasons of great influx. Then there are seasons when it all seems like it's just going to go away. But if you abide there, you will be a benefactor, and you will benefit, and you will be filled with life afresh, because the season in God has not yet been made manifest, where the fruit will be showing forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't judge the future on the present. Don't judge where you're at compared to where you've been. I think I heard this morning somewhere. You don't compare, right? Now, think of the branch connected to the vine. Think of that branch. Let's just imagine what that branch is thinking when the husbandman starts coming through the place where it's planted. And you understand, because you were taught this, that when the husbandman starts moving through your ranks, that there's going to be some feeling with it. We're all into feelings, aren't we? But the feelings that the husbandman brings to the orchard or to the vineyard is a feeling of pain, rejection, purging, getting rid of, making things different for you. And what happens to the branch that says, I don't think I want this. I think I'll just pull myself out of the vine. Well, the husband looks at you, says, you pulled yourself out. Now you're all dried up. There's nothing left there, so. You say, how do I stay in the vine? By continuing to believe in the vine. By continuing to believe in the vine. Let me say it again. By continuing to believe in the life source. Hallelujah. And when it talks about he that believeth in me, that word believeth is more than a mental exercise. It is that you embrace everything that is in that vine. You choose to believe in the vine. Now, that word believe has some action to it. It's more than just a passive thing, but it actually means to believe into. If I had you all stand up, I would have you do this. You believe into. You move into it. When you are outside and you hear the message of the gospel, you made a decision to move into it because you believed into it. You entered into it. You ate it. You drank it. You brought it into you. You stepped into it. You believed into it. So that when there is an issue, you don't just jump out, because it's not easy to jump out. You are connected to the vine. So that when the husbandman comes along and he says, I want more, I want more fruit, he knows how to get more fruit. He cuts you back. You said, well, I am more important than that. You will never be more important than God's plan for you. And his plan is to produce fruit through you. Hallelujah. His plan is to see increase of his kingdom and to see increase of his word. He said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Hallelujah. And when the word of the Lord comes and in various ways to us, it is there to clean us. It is there to purge us. It is there to circumcise our hearts. It is there to bring us away from our carnal way into walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So that we are not living by our own way. We are living by His way. Hallelujah. I step in. Hallelujah. I believe into. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to abide in Him. I'm going to keep on believing in Him. No matter how many times the husbandman cuts me back, I know that it's for my own good. So that there will be more fruit. There will be more fruit. There will be more fruit. Hallelujah. How many want that? Careful now. How many want it? Sure you do. Bless the Lord. Whoa. And there are rewards as you abide in Him. You can ask what you will and it shall be done. Is that what it says here? You can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Prayer is answered. But you have to understand that that branch has stayed in the vine. And when the branch and the vine are connected, there's a will that has been dealt with. So that when, when He says, you pray and it will be done, He's doing that with the understanding that the connection of the vine and the branch means that the will has been affected. Your will now has been converted to become dead to your own selves and alive unto God, so you can say with Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. And you can pray with Him, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's a connection between heaven and earth. There's a reward for abiding in the vine. Stay with it. Don't lose heart. Believe. Hallelujah. Amen. There will be greater works. Greater works. He said, oh, you know, I do great works, but you're going to do greater works. That doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be more powerful, but they will be many more. Your fruit will increase. Where you pray, where you declare the kingdom of God, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those you'll cast out demons in the name of the Lord. You'll live a life like He lived. Hallelujah. Amen? Come on. And then it goes on that one of the rewards will be that you will love one another. Yes, you love the Lord. I know everybody loves the Lord. But it includes loving one another. This is a commandment of the Lord that you would love. And it comes out of that connecting, that abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. So that the same love that exists between the Father and Son, the Father God and the Son of God, that same love exists in you because you are connected to the same flow of life. Hallelujah. So that when someone irritates you, you just take the pruning. You just let it cut off and you keep on loving. Hallelujah. Because it's going to produce more. The more you're cut, the more fruit you're going to have. The more hatred you have against you, the more love is going to be produced. Hallelujah. Read to the end of this chapter And you'll find that he's speaking to his disciples with the understanding that they are going to be rejected, just like he is being rejected. And that's part of the pruning, so that the power of the Spirit of God is manifested through his body, through his disciples, through his church. However you want to determine who you are, it is a flow of life to those and through those who choose to stay connected with the vine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, I continue to believe in you. I believe into you. I believe into your way of life. I believe into your word. I take your word into me. I take your flesh into me. I take your blood into me. I live not by my faith, but I live by your faith. Hallelujah. I'm connected. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's stand together. Let me pray. Oh God, Lord, I pray for this people. I pray for all of us, oh Lord, that you will put fresh faith in us today so that we can choose to believe into you and walk in you and live in you in the name of Jesus. Your blessing upon this people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, church. Come on. Praise God. We've been talking about this for how many weeks, maybe how many months? It's a season. And God brings Brother Evans in and Sister Sharon in and says, hey, it's the season. Come on. He's confirming. He's reaching out to us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your confirmation. It is the season. It is our season. It's the season that you put us in. Same God, but different season. Same God, but different season. Same God, but different season. Hallelujah. Lord, that we would walk in your season. That we would walk in your faith. Lord, that we would walk into, believe into, that we would not give up, that we would not close our heart, that we would not close our mind, that we would not close any door, but God, that we would swing every door open for you to prepare us for the season that you are giving us, that you walk before us, that you treaded the ground before us, that you have built before us, that you are planting before us. If we hold steady in you, we will bear much fruit. More fruit. And here's the key. Fruit that remains. Calvary is going to be a fruit that remains. It won't just be fruit. It won't just be more fruit. It just won't be much fruit. It will be fruit that remains. Because we remain in you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this confirmation of a word that is strong and powerful, because your word is true. And we will stand with it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Love someone, greet someone, have fellowship downstairs. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord.